Well, good evening, everybody. I'm glad we could all be together this evening, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart regarding the gospel, the good news. And one thing I want to say from the beginning is the gospel, the good news, is for all of us. Many of us have accepted Jesus as our Savior. We've lived that victorious life, but we all run into hardships. We all have our times of confusion, and it's always good to return and see how good the Lord is and how what a wonderful salvation we have. So before I get started, let me just start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are a speaking God and that you desire to share with us tonight what's on your heart. Lord, we're thankful that there's such peace and such joy in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that you would take the words of the Scripture and the few words that you've placed upon my heart and use them to plant life and joy in each one of the hearts that are in this room this evening. We just want to give you full authority in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was asked to share with you all, the brother that called me mentioned that one of the stories from the Scripture that had been on the hearts of many was the woman who had the ailment of a continuous bleed. And as soon as the brother shared this, it resonated in my heart. It was one that just I immediately said, amen. And so I want to read that passage and then share a little bit of what the Lord shared with me on this. This is from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verses 21 through 34. You can just listen carefully. Some of you have Bibles, but if you don't, you can just listen carefully. This story is also found in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we'll be reading from the portion of Mark. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored Jesus earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. But there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for about 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians, and she had spent all the money and all the treasure that she had, and yet she was no better, but rather she grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned to the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd is pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, this story that we just read is actually a story within a story within a story. The story is Jairus coming to Jesus. This is a great man of a synagogue. And he says, "My daughter is dying. Come heal." And Jesus follows. That's the story. But what we see also is that there is a greater story. This is the story of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is on this earth. Jesus who was God. Jesus who stood or sat at the right hand of his Father in heaven chose to come down on this earth to save man. Now, why did man have to be saved? Well, From the beginning of time, God wanted a relationship with you and I. God wanted to be so close, so intimate. He wanted to have a loving and caring relationship. But at the beginning of time, man chose to make decisions for himself. I will do this. I will make a name for myself. I will do all these things with my life. And sin entered into this world. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Do we recognize that? All of us have sinned, and we have all fallen short. But we're encouraged because Jesus was on this earth because a very common verse that many people know. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So this was the story. This was the great story. Jesus was here to give people joy, to give them peace, and to give them healing. And we see that this woman who was very ill, was at a crossroads. We find that she was in the need of healing. She was a simple, insignificant woman. We don't know her name. We know so little about her. And yet she becomes one of the key people in the history of time because she took a leap of faith, as Kimbert mentioned earlier. She was willing to step out and say, "I need Jesus." So let's look at this woman. Let's think about her condition. On the outside, she looked okay. Very few people initially knew that she was even ill. It was a private illness. It was one that she could hide. It was one that people didn't really know about. And I think we should consider that tonight for ourselves. I think there's a lot of sins. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of fear. There is a lot of life that we're losing in sin, in quietness, not letting anyone know. She was anemic. She was very weak, but people didn't know it. She was confused. She was confused with this ailment. And again, I ask you this question tonight. Do you ever feel confused? Do you ever feel, why don't I have the joy? Why don't I have the peace that people around me have, people that have Jesus? The other matter of her life is she couldn't have life. She couldn't give life because of this ailment. And I think a lot of us today, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you feel, is there any good that's coming out of my life? Am I bringing life to this world, or am I making people around me sad? Or am I not bringing joy to my family or to others around me? In reality, what we see with this lady is no one really understands her. Do you ever feel that way? One of the questions that I think you should ask tonight of yourself is, are you misunderstood? Is there something in your life that your parents can't help you with, that your friends can't help you with? Is everyone so busy? Think about this. Are your parents too busy to help you? Are your fellowship that you know, maybe you go to church, some of you that aren't saved and you want to hear about the Lord, but it seems so busy and so restless. You're seeking for help, but you cannot find it. Well, this lady finally reached a point of desperation. And we remember the story. It said that she paid everything she had. She went to the physicians, she went to the doctors saying, "Please help me." She did this for 12 years. 12 long years. And when she didn't receive healing, you know what it meant to her? That this was probably the way she was going to have to be the rest of her life. See, anything that happens for 12 years is pretty much an established fact. It's a new principle. It's actually a new governing principle over your life. And after 12 years of spending everything, of having such a difficult time, she was almost stuck in this belief that she would be ill the rest of her life. Her sin, though, her illness actually started coming to the forefront. Because she had spent so much of her money, because she had spent so much of her time, people started to notice. She suddenly became a social outcast. She became an economic outcast because she didn't have any money. People knew that there was something wrong with her. And she had this challenge and this difficulty that she became what was considered an undesirable, an outcast. Even Jesus, even this one person that she knew could probably save her, she hoped could save her, even at this most critical time in her life, seemed too far away. Can you imagine? Here she is. She's lived all this time. She's spent all. She's heard rumors that this man can save. This man can heal. And she goes to the place that he now is. And there's a huge crowd. And there's no getting to him. There's no hope. This is an act of desperation. It's too little, too late for her. But then she has this reminder. Jesus is so great. He loved people so much that even though he was God, he came to this earth to save man. And she said to herself, if only I can touch his garment. I don't have to be introduced to him. I don't have to know him. I just need that little touch. So what were her choices? What are our choices? I want you to consider that tonight. All of us in this room. What are our choices? Are we in need of healing? Is there something in our life that's causing us difficulty, causing us worry? Well, just as this woman, we have some choices. One of the choices we can make tonight is to ignore it. To say, you know what? This is just the way I was created. This is just my situation in life. Kimbert could have said, you know what? This was a horrible situation. I'm always going to have to face this situation, this tragedy in my family, and I'm just going to put it aside and just pretend like it never happened and just be strong in myself. And do you think he could stand up here and speak of the joy that the Lord placed upon his heart if he had chosen just to ignore that which he was faced with at a very young age? Some people decide, instead of ignoring it, they're going to replace this difficulty with other feelings. Maybe feelings of depression. This is a very common way that we deal with things now. Yes, I'm in a difficult time in life. Yes, I don't like things that are going on in my life. So I'm going to find even sadder things. I'm going to look and seek even painful things in my life. Or, and this is very common for teenagers, and I'm a teacher, so I'm going to consider myself a teenager since I'm around teenagers all the time. Or am I just going to have angst? Okay, isn't that a cool word? I just have angst. You know, I'm kind of angry, I'm kind of upset, and I'm just going to have this attitude. And that's how I'm going to deal with these difficulties. You see Joey over here, when he had trouble with his parents, he's just going to have angst. Okay, he's just going to talk to his parents with that little attitude, and that's going to make it all go away. Okay, this is often how we deal with it. And then we find people like Toby who has angst with us and we can get along and ignore the difficulties, the challenges, that knocking on our heart. You know, one of the things that we do also is we look for joys in short-term highs. You know, we gossip. You know why we gossip? We gossip because it makes us feel better about ourselves. If we say something negative about someone else, then it just makes us feel like, oh, we're a little bit better. Or we get on social media and we say something or we look at something. Look at these fantastic pictures. Look at these amazing things. Let's look at sports and get distracted by that. These short-term highs, these short-term things that excite us. And this woman could have done the same thing. Or we seek distractions. Okay? Joey could have been distracted by two things. Tennis. was a distraction for Joey. That's going to keep him happy as long as he played tennis. Well, that didn't work out too well because the parents didn't like that he was playing tennis, right? So the other answer we're going to go to is education. I'm going to show my parents. I'm going to make an A-plus on everything. I'm going to join every academic club. I'm going to reject sports, and it's all going to be about education. And then suddenly we find out that doesn't give us joy either. Or we find it in relationships. Isn't it interesting that in our skit, Joey needed to find a relationship? Okay, he had Chloe, his girlfriend. That wasn't satisfying. Christian was too weird, so he didn't want to be around Christian. Toby was cool, so maybe I could hang out with Toby. But Toby was exhausting him because Toby was trying so hard to be cool. It was exhausting, and it wasn't actually fun. Do you see how much he smiled? Not a whole lot. He smirked for a second, and then it disappeared. Okay, these are all the things that we try to do in our life. We're trying to find those distractors, social media relationships, social media fantasies. Oh, you could look like this. You could act like this. You could be an athlete like this. All of these are ways of dealing with our pain. And we all have it. And I want you to consider that tonight. I've been a Christian for over 40 years, and there's still pains in my life. There's still challenges in my life. And I can be honest with you, there's been times I've tried to ignore it. There's been times I've tried to replace those feelings with other things. I've tried to find it in distractions and relationships. But the only true answer, the only real answer, the only lasting answer is reaching out to Jesus, or that leap of faith. You know, Kimbert had that choice there. He could have looked at his father and said, "I am so angry, God. Why did you do this?" But instead, by a leap of faith, he reached out and he said, "There's a smile there. This is no longer my dad. My dad is now with the Lord Jesus Christ." And that smile was then transferred to him. And it's in his heart. And it's something that he'll always be able to go back to and say, "Thank you, Lord, for that most difficult time. That different chapter, that chapter that was changed, its title, as Kimbert has gone through this." Do we want to reach out to Jesus? All we have to say is, "Jesus, I have a need." This is what the lady with the bleed said. "I have a need. I am ill. I need to reach out. I'm desperate. I've tried it all. There's not a thing I haven't tried." She had to make her way through the crowd, a crowd of ridicule. Something about this story that a lot of people don't realize, because she had spent all of her money and she had gone to all the physicians, people knew about her disease, and she was unclean. And that meant when she walked towards Jesus and she fought through the crowd, everyone noticed because she was unclean. And people like, "Who is that? What is she doing?" When you reach out to Jesus, people will notice, but it'll be a testimony. Because what people saw was a woman who was unclean, a woman who was hurting, but she took that leap of faith. She reached out to Jesus, and they witnessed her healing right there. What she experienced there was that this is from Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death. But when she reached out, she experienced the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Now, I love Jesus' response here. Imagine, the disciples were right. You remember the story? He's walking, and she just barely touched his garment. And it says he felt the power coming out. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples like, "Jesus, what are you talking about? Everyone's touching you." Okay? Have you ever thought about that? Everyone talks about Jesus. How many times have we met Jesus tonight? We've talked about Jesus and we've sung about Jesus. There's so much going on. But Jesus knows every single one of us. He knows our hurts. He knows our pains. He knows our confusion. He knows it better than your parents know it. He knows it better than your teachers know it. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. She was shocked. As soon as she touched Jesus, she was healed. The power went out and she was healed immediately. And this is how Jesus responded. He healed her immediately. But that wasn't enough. Jesus is never finished working with us. He loves us so much. He immediately wants to have a verbal and an intimate relationship with this woman. He wanted to meet her. And he said, "Who touched me?" And as I was meditating upon this, I thought it about this. She dare not say anything because she was an outcast. If you read this story carefully, you see he asked the question and she didn't just say, "It was me." She hid. She was an outcast. She wasn't worthy. And Jesus asked again, "No, I want to know who touched me." And I think she had just enough, I'm going to introduce myself as a stranger who needed healing. Maybe that's what I'll say. I'm a stranger who just needs healing. But Jesus wanted more. "Who touched me?" And then she saw him face to face. And I think she wanted to say, "Look, I'm just an acquaintance who was desperate. Thank you for healing, and I'll be on my way." Jesus is never done with us. He's healed her. He forced her to make his acquaintance. And what does he say to her? "I call you my daughter." This broke her heart. Everyone had rejected her. She was so unclean. She was such an outcast. There was nothing good in her. And everyone would turn their back when she came around. And this man who she dared not introduce herself, this man who she dared not even say she was an acquaintance, he said, "I call you daughter." She had family. She had family in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Your faith has made you well." That leap of faith has healed you, cleansed you from all sin. "And I tell you now, go in peace." She hadn't had peace in 12 years. She had nothing but sleepless nights. She couldn't hold a job. She barely had enough money. Then she gave it all to physicians. And for the first time, a family member, Jesus Christ, who called her daughter, said, "Go in peace." She found herself as an intimate and a precious part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That big story that we talked about, that story that began at the beginning of known history, she became a part of it. Each one of us tonight, we are not outcasts. There's no small person. Jesus knows every hair on your head. He knows your every thought. He knows your every pain. And he wants to come in and give you life, that you might have it abundantly. This is how it works. In John 10:10, what I just quoted, he came. He turned away from his throne in heaven, and he came to be a man, to suffer more than you and I can ever imagine, to die on a cross so that all of our sins would be placed upon him. And once our sins are placed upon him, they're washed away, they're clean. And now we can be daughters and sons of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came that we all might have life and have it abundantly. He's calling you tonight. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I want you to ask yourself a question tonight. Do you have rest? Do you have peace, or do you have to find it in something else? Do you wonder why Christians smile at the strangest times? Do you wonder why Kimbert can come up here and tell a sad story and yet say it with a smile on his face and with conviction in his heart? Each one of the Christians in here, each one of you young people that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a story. You're as significant as this woman. You're as significant as Jairus' daughter. You're as significant as all man in history, because the Lord Jesus wants to have that intimate relationship with you. It's a simple leap of faith. All you have to do tonight to receive this peace is to do the following. It's from Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? Jesus, I'm not Lord of my life anymore. I want to follow you. I want your life in me. I don't want to follow the rules of this world. I don't want to follow the rules of my own life. You are my Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you believe that Jesus died on that cross and that he took upon all sin upon himself and you are now cleansed and clean and you believe that he was raised from the dead, then you shall be saved and you have eternal life. This is one of the greatest promises given to man. And this woman, who never thought she was worthy enough, was willing to reach out, take that leap of faith, even when everyone around her said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Haven't you tried enough?" She said, "No, I have one last thing to do. Come to Jesus." And it changed her life forever. And that's my prayer for all of you tonight, to experience that life from the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you loved us from the time, even before we were conceived, before we were born. You wanted to have that verbal and that intimate relationship with us. Lord, we do admit that there have been many times that we have run away from you, that we have tried to find satisfaction in this world, that we have tried to figure things out on our own. And we just want to be those that tonight say, "Lord, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't need to live this Toby life of trying to be too cool. I don't want to live this Joey life of running away from my parents and running away from the duties that are before me. Instead, I want to live this life being obedient to all that is around me by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that life that lives in me." So, Lord, we just pray that each one of us tonight would take that leap to stretch out and to touch the hem of your garment. And we're so thankful that you can turn around tonight and say, "You are not a stranger. You're more than an acquaintance. You are my son. You are my daughter. We are now family." We pray that that would be a reality for all of us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.